నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. వింశతః సుతోరంభః ఖానినేత్రోస్య ధర్మికః కరుణధామో మహారాజా తస్యాసీత్ ఆత్మజో నృపః. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. వి షాల్ రీడ్ అ సిరీస్ ఆఫ్ వర్సెస్ ఎండింగ్ విత్ ది చాప్టర్. This is the chapter entitled The Dynasty of the Sons of Manu, Canto 9, Chapter 2. So, it's a lot of information here on the sons and fathers and like that. The sons of Vimshati was Rambha, whose son was the great and religious king Khaninetra. O king, the son of Khaninetra was king Karandhama. From Karandhama came a son named Avikshit, and from Avikshit a son named Marutta, who was the emperor. The great mystic Samvarta, the son of Angira, engaged Marutta in performing a sacrifice. The sacrificial paraphernalia of King Marutta was extremely beautiful, for everything was made of gold. Indeed, no other sacrifice could compare to his. In that sacrifice, King Indra became intoxicated by drinking a large quantity of somaras. The Brahmanas received ample contributions and therefore they were satisfied. For that sacrifice, the various demigods who control the winds offered foodstuffs, and the Vishwadevas were the members of the assembly. Because of the yajna performed, this is purport, because of the yajna performed by Marutta, everyone was pleased, especially the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Brahmanas were interested in receiving contributions, as priests and Kshatriyas were interested in drinking. All of them, therefore, were satisfied with their different engagements. The sacrifice being performed here, the great kings of the past, which was the prescribed method of self-realization in that era of time. As we are already informed, that different times in this cosmic manifestation have been prescribed with different methods for the salvation of mankind. And in order to establish this process in each and every yuga, in each and every era of time, the merciful Lord comes in this world and establishes this very profound and solid truths, which will then govern the movement of human beings towards the journey to the spiritual sky. We are in the darkest of the four yugas now, the age which is known as Kali. Kali means dark. And more than us being aware about this, the higher powers, the demigods, and even higher than them, the gods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are fully conversant with the perils and the traumatic situation which takes place in this horrible age. There is a description of how the Supreme Lord in his manifestation in Vaikuntha planets called Sadashiv. Sadashiv, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was really worried just by looking at the possibilities of suffering in Kali Yuga. They may be seeing all the dengue and malaria and leptospira and all that. All the diseases, the cancers and the pollutions and the more than anything else, the physical diseases, the worst hit is in Kali Yuga is the mental disorders, the depression. Large part of the world is suffering from depression. And the numbers will only increase geometrically. So all this is only too much known to the Supreme Lord. Being concerned, he went to meet Mahavishnu. Please remember, whatever happens on this earth planet is not just relevant to them. It has been governed completely and is being supervised by the Supreme Lord at all times. So he's connected. The Lord is never disconnected from his creation. And he's always concerned, like a loving father is concerned about his numerous children. He went to Mahavishnu and then expressed his concern. And seeing the compassionate heart of Sadashiv, Mahavishnu got up and they both embraced. Said, we both are the self same persons in different bodies. As they embraced, there is a beautiful Akashvani from the sky. He said, both the union of both of you, divine personalities, will come to this world as Sri Advaita Acharya. And I will come myself eventually to also add to the pastimes as Gauranga. So there's a very, very powerful pastime which tells us about the purpose, the very purpose of descent of Sri Advaita, the great Kuvera, demigod of the treasuries, was born as Kuvera Pandit, and Labha Devi, both of these divine personalities, pure souls, give birth to Advaita Acharya. Krishna Vanantusha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parashadam Yagya Sankirtana Prayer. The purpose of this entire team, the Lord never comes alone, he comes in his team, comes as his entourage. The purpose of the entourage in Kali Yuga is to establish Sankirtan. To establish this very, very extremely powerful, more powerful a process than has been ever seen by man in the past. To establish the deep roots of this Sankirtan movement, the Lord comes with all his entourage. So Advaita Acharya is one of the very, very chief personalities of this Panchatattva. We say Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, and Sri Vas Thakur. And of course, when he comes, he brings, Advaita Acharya comes along with his entourage also. So today is a very special day because it is the appearance day of, like our Radhuti Prabhu mentioned in the morning, today is the most auspicious day. So you may wonder, what is the most auspicious day today? Janmashtami is gone, God Purnima is yet to come. Radhashtami is coming in 3 days. But what is most auspicious about today? It is the appearance day of Sita Thakurani, eternal and divine consort of Sri Advaita Acharya. And why do we call it as most auspicious? Is it really most auspicious? Just we say it, because you know, it's a sacred ritual to say it. No, we don't just say. Devotees just don't say anything. Devotees always say things which are very meaningful. It is a very auspicious day. In fact, it can be considered as most auspicious as well. And we'll discuss today why it is auspicious. Because hearing about the glories of Sita Thakurani is in itself the embodiment of auspiciousness. Because she herself is a supremely pure personality. It describes Sri Advaita Acharya, a resident of Shantipur, went to take his bath in the Holy Ganga along with his devotees. At that particular point of time, a very, very great saintly devout personality called Narsingha Bhadudi, he came along with his two daughters there. They went by boat, and from a far distance they saw Sri Advaita. Sita Thakurani, Sita Devi saw and marveled at the beauty of Advaita Acharya. Said, oh, what a personality. how effulgent, like so many millions of suns. Hands extended to his knees. Beautiful form, his fingers like the petals of the champaka, and hands like lotus flower. She was most impressed by his divinity. This beauty is not, she said, something which is there in a mortal human being. She was immediately able to perceive that this was not a mortal man in flesh and blood, that he was a divine personality. Said, I'll be most fortunate to have him as my master. And I would consider my life as very incomplete and unfulfilled if I cannot fulfill my desire to serve this great soul. Immediately in her heart sparked off her eternal love for her master. Her sister, her name was Shri, she also saw Advaita Acharya. And emotions erupted in her heart as well. So look at the fragrance of this person. It's like the fragrance of millions of lotuses. You can imagine the fragrance of millions of lotuses, how it must be like. Very divine, very handsome. Narasingha Bhaduti came closer and said, I have heard about your glories, Sri Advaita, and therefore we have come to see you. Advaitacharya said, I'm a very fallen, lowly soul, but I'm very happy to see you, Narasingha Bhaduti. I said, he explained that he is a resident of Narayanpur. So please come to my home and be my guest. So Acharya took him to this home and offered great respect to this great Brahmin, a lot of hospitality. And there, in a private chamber, Advaita Acharya revealed his four-handed form to Narasingha Bhaduti. And he was stunned in ecstasy. He had only heard that this is the incarnation of Sadashiv. So today my life is successful. My millions and millions of lives of pious activities have borne fruit because I have seen what I had heard. In the heart of hearts, he offered this deep prayer. I hope the Lord fulfills my deep desire. Understand that the desire of Narasingha Bhaduti, Advaita Acharya performed a divine miracle in his own home. Please remember, this is not our ordinary mortal. Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Lord who is imbued with achintya shakti, inconceivable potencies. He transformed his own house into a palace and his own seat into a throne. And with all palatial gardens, the numerous servants and maid servants and relatives, the whole Shantipur turned into a beautiful city like that of Indra's Alkapuri. Everything became divine. Fragrant flowers were there, breezes. It became very, very soothing, and a very, very beautiful atmosphere was generated by the desire of Advaita Acharya. Close by was standing Haridas Thakur, Krishna Das, Shyam Das, other personalities. Shyam Das was a matchmaker. And then, understanding the divinity of the occasion, by divine inspiration, entered another great personality in that arena, who was Srivas Thakur, who is Narad Muni. Narad Muni always comes at the right time to the most divine activities. Being like the super soul in the heart, he knows where he should be to serve the Lord. So Srivas Thakur entered this arena and offered obeisances. Advaitacharya climbed down and they embraced each other, great love. He offered a seat of honor. And then Srivas Thakur, who's Narad Muni, began to speak. He said, he began to introduce the whole subject. The whole Leela was introduced. He's like the MC of the whole function. So he just started doing the speaking part. Someone has to really do the, introduce the subject and what are we doing here, like that, the agenda. So he started speaking. Introducing the subject. He said, this is Narasingha Bhaduti. He's a descendant of Narayanpur, a pure Brahmana. And Narayanpur has a beautiful, nice lake. There's a nice lake in his village. And he was getting fragrances of so many lotuses coming into his home. and he was inspired to go and pick up those lotuses. He would pick up tulsi every day for his deity and flowers. Narasimha Bhadwaji thought that anyone offers lotus to the Lord every day takes residence in Vaikuntha. So he went and started collecting those beautiful choices, lotuses from the pond of lotuses. There he came upon 100-petaled lotus flower. Obviously, this was very attractive. And he peeped within, and within that lotus flower was a thumb-sized small baby. Thumb-sized small baby. She was effulgent like the lightning stroke. Very powerful. Like Lakshmi. She had a 400 form. Her four hands were like lotus flowers. And her nails were like the beauty of the rising moon. Like we have the moon rising, right? Half moon, half is the water, half is above. Like a crescent, like a half crescent, semicircle. The nails were like that. Beautiful nails. Like the half moon. And he picked up that lotus with great care and rushed to his home to meet his dear wife. Her name was Narasimhi. Narasimha's wife was Narasimhi. And she was in a maternity chambers. She has just given birth to a baby girl at that time. It was very beautiful, charming. And Narasimha entered confidentially. He showed this lotus, showed this baby and said, wow. The hearts of both these personalities were charmed by their beauty. They were attracted. It's deeply attracted. I said, we would be very happy to have this as our daughter. If we are blessed by the Lord. As they were conversing, the child transformed into a human-sized baby. And then all the people came. And they said, and they felt, these are twin sisters. But she is the elder one. She was called as Sita. And cousin, and the other twin sister was called as Shri. So the whole, so there are two sisters, Shri and Sita. Both are manifestations of this, of, Srivastava Thakura started saying further, that this Sita is the incarnation of Purnamasi, who is the manifestation of Yogamaya in Krishna Leela. And that Shri is Lakshmi manifest. They are both self same personalities in different bodies. So this is the very, very divine. Sita Tikurani was not conceived in the womb like a mortal. She's a divine personality. So it's very auspicious for us to remember, reminisce the appearance of Sita Thakurani today on her appearance day. There's great jubilation in the village. Great celebration was there. And these two twin sisters grew. Since they were divine, Srivastava Thakura started telling further about their pastimes. He knows everything. Narad Muni knows everything. Nothing is unknown to Narad Muni. He's an all-knowing super soul. He started explaining about their pastimes as a child. He said, once there was a beautiful festival across the river of celebrations of kirtan and dancing, singing and festivities. And Narasimha Bhadwaji along with his two daughters wanted to go. But the Ganga was in a state of excitement. She was with roaring waves and it was very windy. So he didn't want to risk his daughters. So he kept them under the custody of his servant. He took a boat and went. The sisters wanted to go also. So how would they go? They walked on the river. They walked on the river and reached the other side. And everyone was stunned. What is this? Narasimha Bhadwaji was very concerned. He picked up the daughter and said, I hope everything is all right. People saw this miracle. And they were, there are a lot of atheistic people and always they said, no, so what's so great about that? So they also went into the water. And some of them drowned. One day, Srivastava Thakura went on further explaining the divinity of these personalities. He said there was a great sannyasi who came to the house of Sri Advaita. It is a custom among grihasthas to call devotees to their home and serve them with hospitality and love. This is a very important part of Vaishnava culture. The acharya was a part of this beautiful culture. And he called a sannyasi home. Sannyasi came home and many people in the village came to see him also because he was very powerful. But when these two sisters came in the room, he couldn't actually show his potency. He was a mystic sannyasi. And he could show anima siddhis and other siddhis also, but he just couldn't manifest anything. So he understood that this is something divine here. And he bowed down to these sisters. They're five-year-old girls. He bowed down to them and said, please bless me that I can also attain liberation from the cycle of birth and death and get a form like Vishnu in Vaikuntha. So he was an aspirant of mukti. Which mukti is this? This is Sarupya Mukti. So they were he was aspiring at that and performing his sadhana, sannyas sadhanas with that desire in his heart. And these two young sisters immediately told this, what is the use of liberation? Mukti is a maid servant of bhakti. Small children are speaking like that. Profound knowledge, which most exalted philosophers and saints do not even know. They cannot even touch. And this is something beyond the chaturpurushartha of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. The small girls were speaking that knowledge. Said, bhakti is the highest goal of life. Because even if you get liberation, you may not really get the service of the lotus feet of Sri Hari, which is the goal of life. In fact, liberation can make you proud and you may fall down. So give up your desire, for liberation is abominable. And attain the service of Sri Hari's lotus feet by performing bhakti, pure unalloyed devotion to his lotus feet. When a small child speaks, it is very impressive. So the sannyasi was impressed, and he, just by association of these two sisters, he became into a Vaishnava. In fact, these two sisters had come to deliver the sannyasi. So as they grew, these sisters, their love, as I said, they are self, same two personalities in different bodies, same soul. And so Sashagur explained further in this assembly, that is this divine personalities who are here and they are most desirous of having you, Advaita Acharya, as their husband. So Advaita Acharya, in a meaningful manner, just sort of shy maybe, but give approval, so be it. I accept also. And this marriage ceremony was performed. So Advaita Acharya has got two divine wives, Sri and Sita. It is said that just like they are like wax, like you have two wax candles or two wax balls or two wax bodies. And the wax melts and then the two waxes come and they become like one, right? We don't know which is one wax or the other wax. So they were like that. Their love for Advaita Acharya was like one. There's no competition. So who is she? Now, in our pursuit of Krishna consciousness, or for the matter of the pursuit of spiritual life, you must understand that there are various hierarchies of different personalities people worship in this world. Well, most people don't worship anybody. By and large, most people don't worship anybody except maybe, but a desire to worship is always there because that's our nature. So they worship sports stars or film actors and actresses. But some are little better than them may worship Mother Nature, right? They are followers of Mother Nature, so they are into wildlife conservation and planting trees and conserving the earth and like that, which is good, which is nice. But it's a very rudimentary level of worship, of looking at the provider as mother. But higher than them are those people who understand that there are actually divine goddesses who are this is not just impersonal nature, but there's a goddesses. So there are a whole group of people called as Shaktas or Shakti worshippers. Who actually understand that there are goddesses. So like we have Navaratri coming, so there is a festival where Mataji is worshipped. And in Calcutta there is a Calicut, Calcutta. It's the place of Kali. So many people worshipped Kali. A lot of Hindus, a lot of Brahmanas, they were Shakta worshippers. But what we need to understand is that this is not complete worship. Philosophically speaking, we cannot serve or worship the Shakti away from the Shaktiman. That's not proper. That's not proper etiquette. And that is never fruitful. I remember as a child also, my uncles, many of them were worshipping of Ambema and Durga Devi riding on the tiger. And they would sing songs about Jai Adya Shakti, Ma Jai Adya Shakti. They would sing all this song. But I can now see that actually they sort of were confused people. They did not really know what is Shakti, who's Krishna, who's Rama. They were sort of worshipping anybody and everybody. You know, this, everyone is fine. Well, a very broad sort of approach. Whatever works. Something will work somewhere. So, you know, as long as we get the blessings and our life goes on well, we remain healthy and wealthy and wise, it's all right. So they kept on worshipping on a broad spectrum. All sorts of various personalities. But we understand that actually the Supreme Lord has got three potencies: internal, marginal, and external. So the actual predominating deity of external energy is Mother Parvati or Durga Devi. But she is simply a reflection. She is simply like a shadow, right? Chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharti Durga. So she's a shadow. Shadow of what? Shadow of whom? Shadow of the internal energy. The whole material creation, this material world, as we see it, this cosmic manifestation as we see by the perceptible, by the senses and beyond the senses, is actually simply a reflection, a mere reflection of the variegatedness of the spiritual world. So the spiritual world also is predominated by Shakti. This concept of Shakti and Shaktiman is very important to our teachings. So who the supreme Shaktiman? The supreme personality of Sri Krishna. And who is the Purna Shakti? Srimati Radharani. So why we are introducing this concept today is because we are very close to this very divine and holy day also. After 3 days, which is Radhashtami. So the proper etiquette is to only approach the Shaktiman by worshipping the Shakti. In fact, the Shaktiman is never revealed without the Shakti. Like, you can never see the sun if there is no sunshine. Is it not? You only see the sun by the mercy of the sunshine. The sunshine is actually the modality by which you take shelter of, and that sunshine in turn allows you to see and perceive the glory and beauty of the sun. Or the moonshine allows you to see the moon, as you cannot see the moon. Similarly, if you want to approach the Supreme Shaktiman, Supreme Purusha Krishna, it is imperative that you have to go and take shelter of the Shakti. And Srimati Radharani is the Purna Swarupa Shakti. The original reservoir of all potencies. Krishna is the original reservoir of all. He's the supreme potent. The supreme potent. And Radharani is the supreme embodiment of all potency. And that is divided into three. Ladini, Samvit, and Sandini. Right? And that is manifested in the outside world. The marginal, in the material world. And then she is worshipped as Durga Devi. So, whether it is Sita Thakurani, Srimati Radharani, they are all embodiments of the Bhakti Shakti. The Bhakti Shakti, the Bhakti Tattva. So, we as sadhakas are expected to understand this very deeply and have a very positive and a very wholesome understanding of this nature of Shakti. There is a group of people who worship only Krishna and not Radharani. There is a group of people like that. We know of a person who supplies wigs during the dramas, for the drama festival. Now, if you go to his wig shop, there's only Krishna's photo in his shop. He makes a lot of nice wigs for the you know, various things and all. But you ask him Radha Krishna, he says Hare Krishna. He may say Hare Krishna, but actually he means only Krishna. He doesn't mean Hare. He just wants Krishna. He doesn't, because Radharani is like, it's a very difficult thing for most people to conceive. Radharani Tattva, it's very, Bhakti Tattva is not easy. Dharma sa Tattva, Nitam, Guhayam. It's very, very secretive. It's very confidential. Right? So, we can see that Vishnu Priya, who's Gaurang Mahaprabhu's eternal potency, Sita Thakurani, the potency of Sri Advaita Acharya, and Radharani, the potency of Sri Krishna, we approach these personalities only through their Shakti. Therefore, if you want the mercy of Sri Advaita Acharya, then this is the day. This is the day. We are approaching Advaita Acharya through Sita Thakurani. And we can see in the examples of Vishnu Priya, for example, that what type of bhakti they manifested. Because the embodiment of bhakti, what the superlative nature of the bhakti they manifested. The Vishnu Priya, for example, we know what is the deep devotion she had, that she would chant after Mahaprabhu's departure, as in after taking sannyas. She would chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And for each and every mantra, she would take one grain of rice. And she would chant practically the whole day. But even how much you chant, even if you chant 192 rounds, like Haridas Thakur, how many grains would that come to? Just a few grains. And she would just eat that much of rice. And she would not even chant probably, because she was, most of the time she is in a state of separation and crying. But she would imbue her devotion of her heart into each and every grain. And that grain would be fully manifesting the love of her heart. And only that rice would go into her body and sustain her. It's like the Mahamantra actually sustaining her body in the form of that rice. That type of devotion they had. So it's a very, very powerful thing. On the other hand, the people who are Shakta worshippers, they do not really get the mercy of their, you know, the followers don't get the mercy when they worship the Shakta alone. Like, you'll be surprised to know that Haridas Thakur, this divine personality, the one who had to really blaspheme him and destroy his good reputation was Ramchandra Khan. He was not a Muslim. Ramchandra Khan was a Hindu, a very high-ranking Hindu, and he was a Shakta worshipper. But imagine, here is a person who is actually in some sort of spirituality, you know, understands that is Shakti, and he is very devout and very supportive of Shakta worship, but he just can't understand the glories of a Vaishnava. And he tried to do something so absolutely evil and demoniac that he wanted to destroy the, you know, the reputation of Haridas Thakur, who was such an exalted soul. He could not see. So if you just worship Shakti alone, Krishna is not revealed. And you can't see Krishna's devotees revealed in that glory. There are so many examples of this in our scriptures also of, you know, for example, Nityananda Prabhu, you heard the story of this Brahman Kumar, right? He's a dacoit, he's a born Brahmana, that's one thing, but he became a dacoit somehow or the other. And before they go for their loot, what do? They worship Chandiga. Now imagine, this is like they're, you know, before you worship Saraswati before you go for, you know, I remember, you know, we go to school and we worship Saraswati or like that before you go start your studies, or you worship Ganesh ji before you start some holy activity, and Ganesh Chaturthi is going on. So before you do this activity of looting, whom should you worship? Chandi. So what kind of people they must be in this world, you know? And they went on to try to, you know, in the first day they failed, they fell asleep. So we didn't worship properly Chandi, you know, we should do Chandi properly. And then did something else, and then in the end, they tried to loot Nityananda Prabhu and all his associates, and you know, they had a massive problem because as soon as they approached Nityananda Prabhu in this house, it started hailstorm and rains and thorns and everything else, and these dacoits were like really in a mess, right? So the point is that this Shakta worshipper actually is a very incomplete type of worship. While the Vaishnava tradition gives a very wholesome understanding of mother. The word mother, you say, Srimati Radharani is what? She's our mother. Sita Thakurani is also mother. Vishnu Priya is mother. So the concept of mother, Devi, which is very important, which is something which is very soft to our heart. You know, we all like to have the shade and shelter of a mother. All of us like to have that. We know what the love of mother is, very tender, loving, right? So that you get from Sita Thakurani, Tulsi Maharani, Yamuna Devi, Ganga Devi, these are all our divine mothers. So it's a Ganga, Maiya ki jai. Jamuna, Maiya ki jai, right? So these are all Maiyas. Maiyas means they're all actually our mothers. Huh? Because they give us devotion to our father, which is Krishna. Therefore, when a devotee goes and takes his bath in the Ganga, he's not just going to wash his sins off there. Like you take a vessel which is dirty and you try to just wash off the vessel from a body of water. So yes, you know, your vessel is dirty and you're going to wash off your, you know, soul as a vessel and just rinse off everything else into the water. You're not going for that. That may come as a byproduct automatically. But actually you're going to Mother Ganga for asking for devotion to Sri Hari. If you take the bath in the Jamuna, same purpose, going to ask for devotion to Sri Hari. So that's the way that is a complete and wholesome understanding of Radha and Krishna. And that makes it very, very fulfilling. Therefore, we always have this, when we chant this Mahamantra, we have Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So we are being told that we can approach Krishna through Hare. Hare is the embodiment of the internal potency. It is Radhini Shakti of the Lord. Lakshmi and Narayan, Sita and Ram, Radha, Krishna, Rukmini, Dwarkadish, like that. So we approach the Lord only through His Shaktis. Now being the mother, Sita Thakurani is a great mother. And we want to talk a little more about her today. So what kind of a great mother she was? She's not just a mother of bhakti, but imagine her sons. If she's a mother of bhakti, what must be the nature of her sons? And as you say, genealogically or biologically or genetically, the son inherits the properties of the mother and the daughter of the father, right? So what must be the nature of Sita Thakurani's sons? How divine they must be, right? So we will talk about a few sons of Sita Thakurani today also, because in glorifying the sons, we are glorifying the mother. So a very nice Garbhadhan Sanskar was performed at the Acharya. And then in due course of time, the first child was born, the year 1492. Child was very beautiful, very beautiful. As soon as the child was born, astrologer was brought in and he said, oh, this is a divine personality. His devotion parallels the gopis of Vrindavan. In fact, he's a gopi of Vrindavan from past life. And he cannot be shaken from his devotion to the Lord. He's infallible in his devotion to the Lord. Very happy, very jubilant. And after a few days, then the Brahman was brought in to give the name-giving ceremony. He said, this personality, he'll be called as Achyuta. Since he is always taking Ananda in worshipping the infallible Lord, his name will be called as Achyuta Ananda. So the first son of Adhacharya is Achyutananda, very, very special holy personality. He said he will be renounced from his very birth and he will teach bhakti to the whole world. As he grew, actually he grew to be a great renunciant, great renunciant. There are many, many pastimes of Achyutananda actually, which are there in the holy scriptures. After 4 years, 1496, another child was born to Sri. A son was born to Sri. But unfortunately, as happens in these days many times, the child is born, but the child died. The child died immediately. And the mother's heart, she wept in lamentation, sobbing dearly. Oh, what a grief-stricken person. My child, beautiful child, is dead at birth itself. It is a tragic event. At that same time, by divine providence arrangement, Sita also gave rise to birth to a son. And since both the sisters were lamenting, Sita said, my dear sister, do not cry. I will give this my son to you. The world will know this son as your son. So she gave her son. Adhacharya accepted this proposal. This is very nice. This will pacify her sister and everything will be very wonderful. So son was given. And the Brahmanas were called in. I said, this is going to be a great servant of the Lord. A very, very empowered servant of the Lord. His name should be Krishnadas. Krishnadas. That's the second son of Adityacharya. Another very, very holy personality. After 4 years, a third son was born. This son, it was predicted during the birth of the second son, Krishnadas, that this personality is the commander of the Vaishnava army. Just like Kartikeya, the six-headed form of Kartikeya is the commander-in-chief of the demigods. This is Kartikeya incarnate, who will protect bhakti in this world. So the second son is incarnation of Kartikeya. After 4 years, in the year 1500, the third child of the Acharya was born, Tusita Thakurani. As soon as he was born, again, jubilation. Beautiful. All these sons were so beautiful, so handsome, so divine in effulgence. He said, just by seeing this third child, it was predicted that just by seeing this child, people will get bhakti. Imagine, bhakti is so rare. Now, please understand the divine attributes of these personalities. No? Who is in this world who can just by seeing you get bhakti? You see so many things, you know, you just contaminated in this world. You just see, you know, whatever you see around, it just contaminates you. This world is a, you know, place which takes you away from the Lord. It's the Maya Shakti of the Lord takes you away. But these are divine, super divine personalities. Just by seeing them, darshane pavitra karo, you get bhakti. Ye tumhara guna. So just by seeing him, and he's such a great servant of the Lord, he's namely Gopal Das. And you'll like to know this information that we are celebrating Ganesh Chaturthi. This is going on right now for the next 10 days. The third son, Gopal Das, is Ganeshji incarnate. So we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas know that Ganeshji also has his role in the Gaur Leela. How would he miss this chance, right? Everyone is coming. Prahlad is coming. Brahma is coming. And everyone else is coming to this, to enter into the entourage of Lord Chaitanya. Sangha Pangastra Parashadam. Ganesh is a pure devotee, we all know. He's a pure devotee of Narsingadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? He holds his lotus feet on his head all the time. We chant this mantra, right? For his Yat Pada Pallava Yugam Nidhaya Kumbha, we chant for him. Right? So this Ganesh has come in Gaur Leela as the son of Sri Advaita Acharya. So, and of course, there are other sons also, Balram and Jagdish. They're also very powerful. So, we go one generation and beyond now. Now, Adityacharya is an elderly personality. And they had this family. Each and every family of Vaishnavas, like so many family of devotees here in our congregation and all over ISKCON, they all have family deities. And there's a very special occasion where they welcome them and then all the devotees are called in. And it's a very elaborate thing, depending on the financial capacity of the Grihastha, they may have a very large function in the terrace, pandal, program, basudi, rabdi, panchagavya, all sorts of big things. And a very elaborate thing can be there. Because it is tradition for Vaishnava Grihastha couples to actually install deities in their house and worship them. So Acharya Advaita also is foremost in that. His deity is Sri Madan Gopal. That the worshipable deity is Sri Madan Gopal. And they just loved this deity so much. Now, as Adityacharya was getting old and his worship was becoming feeble, he wanted to hand over the worship to the next generation. So, Achyuta was a renunciant, the pure devotee of the Lord. So, as a renunciant, he could not. But Krishnadas, the second son, actually became a Grihastha. And this deity worship was handed over to Krishnadas. Adityacharya was saying, at this particular point of time in history, a very, very powerful event took place when this deity was being given to Krishnadas. A very powerful event took place, and that was that it was 48 years of the Lord's Leela had completed. Lord Chaitanya completed 48 years of his Leela, 1486 to 1534, right? And at that particular point of time, Advaita Acharya, who was responsible for bringing Gauranga Mahaprabhu to this world through his worship of Shalagram Shila and Ganga water and tulsi leaves, manjiris, right? He had actually requested the Lord that your divine function of spreading Harinam Sankirtan is now over. And you may as well wind up your Leela and return back to your Swadham. So the Leela of the Lord had now wound up and the Lord had disappeared from this world. And there was a great melancholy all over the Vaishnava community. And that it was grief-stricken. Please remember, Adityacharya and Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they have such an intimate relationship. Very intimate relationship. And there can be, a lot of leelas which can describe how they were so much intimately connected in love. So at this time he was so grief-stricken, so he wanted to hand over the deities to Krishna Das. Now, having been bereft of the Lord's association, and of course very soon Nityananda Prabhu also left this world. So Nityananda's dearmost of the Panchatattvas, Gadadhar Pandit had also gone, Gaurama Prabhu had gone, and Nityananda Prabhu gone. So who was left now? Only Srivas Thakur and Advaita Acharya. Srivas Thakur was so morose, he was so grief-stricken, he could not even stay in Navadvip. He went away to Kumarhatta, very far away place, away from Navadvip. The more he's in Navadvip, he's feeling, he just remembers the Lord past, did this past time here. They were living in the same compound, please remember. Living in the same compound. Just like you have one compound here, you have tenants here. Krishna Prabhu is staying next building, and somebody was staying next building here. The same compound of Srivas Angan, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, and Advaita Acharya. And Nityananda Prabhu was a roaming mendicant. He had no house of his own, so he was always hanging around there also. Right? So these personalities, all four of them, they all were in one compound. What a concentrated, holy place is that Srivas Angan, actually, when you look at it. Just one person alone is, the Supreme Lord is enough to sanctify the whole creation. But you have the four lords all together, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, all five. You all five are in the same compound, right? When you go to Advaita Bhavan, we see Advaita Bhavan is there, Gadadhar, but all just staying there. And that's one, it's not just half acre of land, that's all. So when you go to Navadvip, what a holy place, and how every grain of dust there is imbued with the devotion of these very, very, very transcendental personalities, Panchatattva, who are here to flood the world with the, they said they have come to open the box, they have a treasure box. The treasure was never given away to anybody. Very special treasury of the Lord himself. It's one thing to give, Lakshmi and, various benedictions, but the whole personal chest of the Lord was never opened up for anybody. But now the Panchatattva has come to have everyone loot this. Pure love of God is here to just distribute to anyone and everyone. And these Panchatattva are living all in one compound. Srivas Thakur was so grief-stricken, the Mahaprabhu was now saying, even to Kumarhatta. So Advaita Acharya was missing the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much in his heart. At that point of time, Krishnadas, the second son, gave birth to a son. So now we're talking about the third generation of Advaita Acharya. And he was as beautiful as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So in him, Advaita Acharya saw Gauranga. And this way his heart was pacified. So the bereavement and the separation and the pain and the pangs of suffering, of missing his Lord in this world, were then showered upon this young child who was called as Raghunath. Raghunath was just the manifestation of love like Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And after some time, another son was born to Krishnadas. And now, where is Nityananda Prabhu? So another child was born who was the embodiment of the qualities of Nityananda Prabhu. And by seeing Advaita Acharya could understand that this is Nityananda Prabhu sort of manifest again in this world. So he was given the name Dola Govinda. Very special name called Dola Govinda. So this again Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu manifest in the sons of Krishnadas. Right? So this is where we are trying to explain this, to understand the dynasty of Sita Thakurani, right? What a divine mother she was. How she was a mother of such very, very, very powerful personalities. And in remembering this holy pastimes of Mother Thakurani, we are getting blessed. Because this is the actual subject matter for devotees to discuss. Now, all of us still, because of our neophyteness of devotion, do get attracted to the things of this world. And anytime we see a newspaper around us, we want to pick it up and read it. Right? You want to see if somebody is sitting in the first class compartment also, and then you're in for chanting Hare Krishna in the train, if you see somebody reading paper, you said, you want to look at the headlines, at least something, at least let me know something about this world, what's happening. So we are still attracted to the garbage of this world in one sense. All the gossip and all the nonsense and all that stuff which is there in all the newspapers and magazines, which is absolutely vayasam tirtham. Still, there is an attraction for this filthy material in our heart because of contamination. And it is only by hearing the glories of the Lord. Therefore, we use this holy days especially to remember the Lord and his devotees' pastimes. So today is a day where we can actually deeply meditate on Siddhartha Kurani. What a great mother she was. And she has so many attributes. One of her attributes was that she was a great cook. And we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when you go to Shantipur, remember? And there is a very holy place where Gauranga, Nityananda, and Advaita, there's a places there where they will sit and have prasad. And who cooked for them? Siddhartha Kurani. So Advaita there also, of course, he also cooked. He also was a great cook. So she had the fortune of feeding Gauranga Mahaprabhu with all sorts of delicious dishes. And just seeing the preparations, you know, the compliment given by Mahaprabhu is very wonderful to remember for all Grihasthas. That just seeing when Mahaprabhu entered the house of Advaita Acharya, there's a beautiful, nice spread out in front of the deities of all sorts of bhoga offered to the lordships. Said, anyone who's offering such things to the Lord, I take the dust of that devotee on my head. That is said by Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So for Grihasthas who are doing elaborate deity worship and offering nice things to their deities, this is a very high standard. So Siddhartha Kurani was of that standard. And within a few hours, she could cook so many nice dishes which Mahaprabhu himself enjoyed. Dui Prabhu Bhojane. This is an immortal song which we all sing on many occasions. We sing actually every day in our, you know, in our Brahmachari, we sing every day. Eka Dine Shanti Prabhu Sri Advaita Gare. Dui Prabhu Bhojane Vashilo. Shakari Ashwadana. So who was making all that shak? The shak was made by? We forget that the cook, his name is not mentioned there. You know, as happens usually in our temple also, the nice, we had nice feast. Kya feasta, kya feasta. But we forget there's a cook behind the feast. Behind everything, there is a person, right? So if it is sweets, it is Damodar Prabhu. If it is dal, it is Gaurang Prabhu. And if it is rice, it is somebody else. If it is rabdi, it is Sudama Prabhu, you know. So if it is Abhishek, then it is Srinandana Prabhu. The Chanamara is made by Srinandana Prabhu during Abhishek's. So each and every item which we are honoring and enjoying in the feast, actually, there's a person behind it, right? So we are not remembering that in that song, eternally we are glorifying Siddhartha Kurani every day. Shakari Ashwadana Prabhu Bole Bhaktagana. Ei Shak Krishna Swadilo. Who? Krishna Swadilo. This is such a nice shak that Krishna has to eat it. And if you eat that shak, eat by Siddhartha Kurani, what happens? Eno Shak Aswadane. So that is the power of Bhakti Devi. When she makes food, she makes prasad, she makes offerings. That food is imbued with her own bhakti. And when you take the food remnants of Siddhartha Kurani, what do you get? Krishna Prema, I say Mane. Say Mane, Koro, Ashwadana. So we must remember that the cooks are very important in our culture, Vaishnava culture. The one who cooks food is so important. Like in our temple earlier, there was to be no professional cooks many years back. There was a boy called Sunil. Some of you may remember his name. he was a nut of a cook. And he would just never hear the authorities what type of food they wanted to make. He would make all spicy. He would make it to his taste, not the devotee's taste. What he liked, and he was a totally Rajasic person. And he used to make such Rajasic food, Rajasic prasad, and devotees like tongues were on fire, acidity and all that. So he couldn't just submit himself to making food of the devotee standard, because he was coming from a particular background and culture, and no devotion, he was being paid. So then years later, they realized that this cook business will not work. You may get any amount of cooks from outside, and they will steal, or they'll be lazy, or they'll be making their own thing. Let this whole thing, forget it. We will make our own prasad, right? So that, it was dawned upon our brahmacharis later on that the devotees make their own prasad. And we can see that over the years now, over the last 15 years or so now, all the prasad which we eat, which we honor so nicely, is only cooked by dedicated, sincere, high-quality Vaishnavas. They are living in the high standard of Brahminical culture. Like Damodar Prabhu, for example, the sweet maker of our temple. Oh, and Radhaduti Prabhu, you know, the famous swan papadi maker, right? Right. It's a tough service. We need a tough man for that. So, when they make food, when they make the prasad, it is their devotion which is there in that. Like I remember there was a devotee living here, Vanaprasthi, living in our temple earlier many years ago, called Abhiram Gopal Thakur Prabhu. He's one of the very senior and worshipable Vanaprasthis living here. after his wife left the body, he was staying here among the brahmacharis. Very, very loud, like a father figure in this temple. And Radhan Maharaj would say, and he was a Bengali, he was a Bhattacharya, living in Pakistan, then he had migrated back to India. He was a Bhattacharya. So he knew how to make all the Bengali dishes, and he would cook for Radhanath Swami. And the way he would cook, he was explained that each and every piece which was cut of either dudhi or aloo was absolutely symmetrical. No two pieces were of different size. It's impossible for us men to conceive how that can happen. You know, that how for us, when we cut a vegetable, everything is different in every piece. They said, Prabhu, aisa nahi bada nahi chota kar diya, chota nahi bada kar diya. You know, these people have to give us a standard size. So we usually ask, you know, the head cook, he said, Prabhu ji, kaisa lamba chahiye, jada chahiye, patla chahiye? Then say, aisa kata na aisa. So they show us one piece and they keep it aside, say, aisa kato. And by the time, you know, 5 minutes over, then all different sizes are coming. So all sizes, you know, big different sizes, lamba, patla, chota, jada. So, you know, just can't keep any consistency because there's no consistency of devotion. So there is no consistency of your own cut. So it's manifest in our cutting probably. I don't know what. But this Abhiram Gopal Thakur, he would cut every vegetable like absolutely symmetrical. One another, they fit into each other as, you know, replica pieces. I said, when he would cook his prasad and bring it to my table, the offering would be effulgent. Now, can you imagine effulgent person, effulgent diamond, effulgent offering kabhi suna hai? The preparation would start shining. Yeah, Maharaj said that. It's such pure devotion in his heart. It was manifesting through his own food. And he prayed next to the shark and various, you know, neem begun and all these various Bengali preparations and various, he was expert in that. Maharaj said his preparation would be effulgent. Effulgent. For it takes a person to know effulgent. If you see that effulgent, if you were to see, we cannot see. There's no bulb there for us to see, no? But it takes a divine person to see divine preparations, right? So like that. So Sita Thakur Rani's preparations of prasad is glorified in the three worlds, and we sing this song every day. And we glorify her divine service of food making, prasad making for the Tui Prabhus. The two lords, Gauranita, have enjoyed her prasad. How great she must be that the Lord wants to, you know, eat prasad from her hands. What a divine mother. What must be her hand, what must be her heart of devotion. Right? So, we have so many classes where we have so much of philosophy, and we explain the philosophy. So, I thought today we will make a little different. So we will not talk so much philosophy, but we will talk, as I say, pure, something pure. So, today we can really humble our hearts and pray for the mercy of Sita Thakur Rani and prepare our consciousness for this very holy day coming after 3 days. Because she is the supreme mother for all living beings. Krishna is the source of our soul. Krishna is the source of our soul. We are born from Krishna. Krishna is our father. Our biological bodies are born from our biological fathers. And our soul was born by Krishna. He is our spiritual father. Right? But what is the importance of a soul without its energy? The soul's very energy, the soul's nature is devotion. Jivara Swarup, the Swarup of the soul is what? Jivara Swarup hoy? Krishnera Nitya Das. That is his nature. He is eternally offering his service to the Lord as a servant. So that is our very intrinsic, innate, constitutional nature. There's just no point being a soul. There's a soul, that's all. But there has to be a nature of the soul. Everything has its nature. The water has its liquidity. Sugar has its sweetness. Everything has its nature. Cloth has its, you know, its fabric. It's like a particular type of nature. Paper has its nature. Everything has its nature, right? Glass has its nature. Paint has its nature. Everything has its nature. So what is the nature of the soul? The soul is to serve Krishna. Now that comes from whom? That loving devotion to serve Krishna comes from whom? The mother of that is Srimati Radharani. So a soul without that component of devotion is a useless soul. He's asat. He's just asat. He's not even sat. His life is wasted. So when that soul comes into contact with the personality, you can give him his nature. And that is the spiritual master. The spiritual master is considered as a representative of Srimati Radharani. Also. Why? Because it teaches us service to the Supreme Father, Krishna. Therefore, find that in our line, in our Guru Parampara system, all those personalities who have come are all mothers. All the manjaris have come. Because they give us devotion to Krishna. The mother does one thing. The mother gives you a lot of love and trains you how to be obedient to the father. Right? So you find all the Goswamis, they are all manjaris. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a manjari. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a manjari. These are all manjaris. They are all expansions of Srimati Radharani. Radharani expands primarily in her, what you call as, Ashtavyuha, Ashtadehavyuha, it is called as, she expands to her eight sakhis, eight principal gopis, who have different bhavs of serving Krishna. And then she manifests as the second tier system of the four types of sakhis. You have the Prinarma sakhis and you have the different types of four sakhis are there. So they are all expansions of whom? The Purna Swarupashak, that is Srimati Radharani. So how divine is Radharani? How holy she is? How pure she is? Her only exclusive activity of her entire existence is to give variegated blissful pleasure to Krishna. All of Krishna's needs, like Bhima has a great appetite to eat. Krishna has a tremendous appetite to enjoy. Right? Because he is the supreme enjoyer. Now who will actually supply the bliss of Krishna? Who will make Krishna blissful? Can a jivatma may do that? Jivatma is so tiny. What bliss can a small jivatma do give to Krishna? Who is unlimited? All the jivatma put together cannot give Krishna even a fraction of any pleasure in one sense. So all the pleasure of Krishna comes from Srimati Radharani, who expands herself into all these various things. So, our dear Lord Sri Krishna, in that sense, is dependent on Radharani's love. Right? Therefore, when at one particular point of time, when Saraswati Thakur was walking down Brijadham, many devotees were offering, Brijabhasis were offering Dandavat Pranams to, Dandavati Parikrama to Govardhan. Right? So they all did spend several days just going around and around Govardhan, not walking but offering dandavas in each place. Some have to do dandavas in each place once, and some people offer dandavas in each place 108 times. Now, can we believe that sort of? Even for us walking is so difficult. Walking 20 kilometers, Prabhu Govardhan Parikrama, come on, Prabhu, buck up. So it's like an event. You want to just no chapels and no prasad in the morning and Hare Krishna. And then you're supposed to have a 21 kilometers, sort of spiritual workout, Yeah, it's very difficult in half time. Okay, once you finish the thing, you feel, wow, it's an achievement today. We did 21 kilometers, Prabhu, it's great. But then you do Dandavat in each place 108 times. And so Thakur was walking by and said, so they're trying to get the favor of Krishna as Govardhan, Govardhan Dhari. But we don't do this. We are worshippers of Srimati Radharani. We know that we are exclusively dependent on Srimati Radharani to get Krishna's mercy. Therefore, our Srimati Radharani in our holy temple here is very, very special. Our Radharani is not temple that special, but our Radharani is little extra special. Not because she is our Radharani, but she is special because of her pose. Her pose is so special, right? She is in eternal mudra, standing in a particular form, with the hands like this, right? And that means whatever you offer to her, she will never keep for herself. She will immediately take and offer it to Krishna. So that's other places she is blessing, which is also nice, which is wonderful. But in our place, she is actually manifesting very more merciful mudra, that she is simply here to accept our devotion, our love, our offerings of prayers, our prayers for salvation, purification, and service. She wants to simply take those prayers and say, like Prabhupada explains very simply and yet profoundly, when Radharani recommends the name to Krishna, Krishna cannot refuse. Krishna cannot refuse. So we do not want to approach Krishna directly like a trespasser. and barge into his presence, we will not be accepted there. We will be rejected. In fact, we will be prosecuted, like there is a trespasser. So it is an audacity. We can never approach the spiritual master directly. We have to go through his personal servants. So Krishna, his supremo servant is Radharani. So you want to go through her. Therefore, when we chant, we want to remember this, especially during our japa time, that we have access to Krishna right here and now. Not in a very esoteric manner, but in a very practical manner. The mantra which our spiritual masters have given us, which Srila Prabhupada has given us, is the means to access Radharani's mercy. So when we chant the mantra, or for that matter even Sita Thakurani, whose appearance is today, or for that matter even Sri Ramchandra, Mother Sita, when we chant with this deep understanding of the value of the Naam, Hare is the means where we're actually invoking Radharani's mercy. We're calling out to our mother. That's why Prabhupada's famous analogy for chanting is the crying of the child for mother. That is the best analogy one can ever give for chanting. There can be various analogies given, but there is nothing more superior in terms of understanding for us as far as the mood of chanting is concerned than this analogy of mother and child. So we have to cry. In one place Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is all about learning how to cry for Krishna. That's one of the answers of Prabhupada. It's just learning to cry for Krishna. Right? Here we are. The problem is we are just so happy in this world. So just we can't cry for Krishna. We are so happy with our house and our family and our money and our securities and in our professions. And it's just so comfortable that there is just no mood to really cry. Sometimes we have to be shaken up by some problem, some misery, some catastrophe, something to shake up. It's not so comfortable anymore. But we are comfortable or not comfortable. We know this material place, world is a terrible place. Samsara dava nida loka. Anything can happen at any particular point of time. 2 days back, it was reported there are terrorists in Bombay. Some of you don't know, please be known. The Radhakrishna is coming very close. The terrorists in Bombay were moving around. The police are not being able to catch them. They are sort of unmanifest, aprakat now they become. If they do the prakat lila, then we'll be in problem. So just a little scare is good. Some little scare is always good for us, because that makes us feel that things are not as rosy as they appear to be on the surface. But a lot of turbulence is potentially is there in this material world. It's never too quiet here. Right? So a little bit of unrest is always good. So we can, only when that is, we can cry. We have to cry for our mother, right? So Radhashtami day is a day when we actually would like to open our hearts and really cry that my dear mother, my dear father, actually without you this world is actually, may appear very rosy and nice to me, but actually this is a horrible place. It's Mrityu Loka. And however rosy it may appear by the superficial coating of Maya, and just like skin, this body appears good because of the coating of Maya. The skin is removed and everything, the bones and blood and mucus, and it's this is terrible. So this also Maya has coated this world with some external sense of pleasure. So underneath that, that's just like the skin, there's a lot of horrible things there. Right? So devotees try to see more deeper, they don't have to see superficial things. So this is our practical mood for Radhashtami. We would like to approach her by her holy name and prepare consciousness for that's the real day. See, Thakurani is the day where we prepare our consciousness and then we really culminate in Radhashtami, where we really open our hearts fully to Srimati Radharani's grace, who is the embodiment of Krishna's blessings. And the way to do that is to loudly raise our hands and chant, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare! Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki, Shri Advaita Acharya ki, Shri Sita Thakurani ki. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for patient hearing. Anybody has any questions or comments? Okay. So Srila Prabhupada ki.